KRVS.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest I have in the studio, Corey Ledet, did not grow up here in Louisiana, though his heart was here. He was born and raised in Houston, Texas, although he did have family over in the community of Parks. But Corey started traveling over to the area when he was a teenager, about 14, 15, and would come over and study with some of the older players, learning what he could. And I just love the fact that it's come full circle now, because Corey, this fall, will be teaching a traditional accordion class here at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette through the music program with Dr. Mark DeWitt, through the Dr. Tommy Como endowed chair of traditional music program that they do have here. So I love it. He comes here as a student, and now he's going to be passing that on. So welcome, Corey.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here today.
Oh, yeah.
When you started coming over here, prior to that, you were familiar with the music of this area?
Right, yeah.
How did you first start hearing about Creole, Zydeco, La-La? Where did that all come in?
Well, my dad and his family is all from Parks, so naturally, you know, growing up, you know, you had that in the house, except I was in Houston, and, you know, he moved from Parks when he got older and went to Houston. And
Did anybody play in your family, or was it recorded music you would listen to?
My dad was a drummer.
Ah, okay.
And my uncle was a drummer, and my grandfather was Clifton Chenier's original drummer.
What's his name?
His name was Buchanan. Yeah.
So, yeah, family of drummers.
Yeah.
And was that your first instrument?
Yeah, that was my first instrument.
Okay. It just amazes me the number of, and it always seems to happen too, the musicians who are incredible accordion players started out as drummers.
Well, it helps.
It does with that, with the rhythm and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So how old were you when you picked up the sticks on the drums?
Probably about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And then I went to accordion at about 10.
At 10,
yeah.
Okay. Who, you know, let's back up with the drums. When your dad was playing drums, was he playing Zydeco?
No, just around the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you picked up accordion,
mm-hmm.
How did the accordion come into your life?
We came over here to visit one time, and we stopped at the best stop in Scott, and they used to have those little toy accordions.
The red and the green ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was my first accordion.
and how old were you then, did you say?
That was about 10.
About 10?
Mm-hmm.
And when you know, it's interesting. I know some people who learned on those little,
the
green
work.
And the red ones.
Oh, they work.
That's right. So you went home, and at that time, did you know about, were there certain songs that you were listening to at age 10?
I would hear everything, but I just was so anxious. I just would put anything on and just try to catch up with it, you know?
With the accordion?
Yeah.
Who were you hearing, or who did you see play accordion when you were young?
Well, the ones that I looked up to, I still look up to them today, would be, of course, Clifton Chenier, Rockin' Doopsie.
Did your folks have some of his music around the house, of those two?
Oh, yeah.
Were they albums?
Yeah, the albums.
Yeah, so you could actually see their pictures holding the accordion.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then I started listening to a little bit of rap, and I messed up the records because I would try to scratch it like that. So, that's when I realized rap and Zydeco don't mix.
Well, there's some people that think it does.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So you ruined it. Was it the Cliftons?
Everything.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's too bad, Corey.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
And then when did you get a real accordion, when you moved up from the Red and Green Kids?
I got that. My daddy bought me a piano accordion first. But it wasn't the big one. It was like the medium-sized one. And I guess I must have been about 12 or 13 by that time.
Yeah. Was it a surprise, or had you asked for it?
Oh, I had asked for it.
Yeah. So you get that accordion. You get a real piano key accordion.
Mm-hmm.
And did you take lessons from anybody, or you just sat and listened to music?
Well, at first I tried to figure it out on my own, and I couldn't. So I didn't want to play piano accordion anymore. And then he got me the little small, you know, the Cajun accordion.
Sure.
And that's when I met James Adams.
Okay.
And he was teaching me about Amadei Arduin and such like that.
And so. now James, for people don't know, and I will say here on the air, James is responsible for you, for Cedric, for, you know, getting some of the, I think you as young, when you were quite a bit younger,
mm-hmm.
getting you involved in the music and what you guys have added to this, I'm going to put back to James.
Oh, yeah.
he is, did you learn about him as he was a DJ?
No.
Doing his radio show, or how did you meet James?
I met him, I got a job, I was playing drums with Wilbert Thibodeau and the Zydeco Rascals in Houston. And
you have to try out for that?
No.
How did he know about you?
Oh, my dad brought me to see him one day, and they was playing, and he asked Mr. Wilbert if he could let me sit in on drums, and I did, and he liked the way I played, so he said, why don't you come next weekend and play the whole weekend with us?
Wow.
And started from there, and I played like 6 years with him, and that's how I met James.
And how old were you then?
That time I was like 11.
11.
Yeah.
And what was your first gig that you played with him? What kind of place was it at?
It was at a restaurant, Magnolia Bar and Grill on Richmond Street
in Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. And was it an evening gig that you played?
Yeah, like 6 to 10,
okay.
Something like that.
Do you remember the feeling of going? I mean, because for an 11-year-old kid, that's a pretty cool thing.
I was nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when I realized that I had a low potassium,
because
my legs would cramp up, and I'd have to eat a banana before every gig.
Oh.
So they'd call me the banana man.
So they'd call you the banana. Oh, that's great. I mean, no, it's not great. You had low potassium, but so that's how you got that name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there rehearsing with him, or that first gig, was it just like you were thrown
just
up play. There?
Because I'd practice with the music at home.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the same thing, you know.
Did he have a recording out, or he just gave you, like, cover songs that you were going to be playing?
He had a couple of songs, but he never did record nothing, though.
Okay.
And he would do a lot of cover songs.
Yeah. And so you played with him for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Was that mostly, was it local gigs?
Yeah.
Was it touring?
Around Houston.
Okay.
Like, just not bars, but restaurants and private parties and festivals, stuff like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's where you got your chops up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, learning the music on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever play accordion with him?
Yeah, if they had somebody that would come see us at a show and they played drums and we knew him, he would let him get on drums and put me on accordion for a while.
Oh, so he would get... Oh,
yeah.
Oh, fabulous. You remember the first time you played accordion on a stage with him?
Yeah, I was at a place called PT's in Houston.
Oh, PT, and he does the radio show, too.
Yeah, he has his own radio show on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
But at that time, he had a barbecue house.
That's right, PT's Barbecue, yeah.
And every Saturday from 2 to 6, that's he would have different bands, and that was the first time.
Now, and when you played accordion the first time, what accordion were you playing?
It was a small one.
It was, okay.
Yeah, because I had put the piano down for a while.
Yeah.
And I was going to get rid of it, and James told me not to. He told me to keep messing with it. So when I finally picked it back up, just stayed with it.
And thank goodness you did.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, when you meet somebody like James, who really, you know, like I said, has really helped you along in your earlier years, and was a mentor to you. How he just came up and started talking to you at a gig, and
yeah, pretty much.
Like, you have talent, kid. Let's go do something.
Yeah, pretty much.
At that time, though, you had been coming here to Louisiana to visit family members?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Did you go to any music, live music, when you'd come visit when you were real young? I mean, before you met James?
Oh, yeah. If they had a Zydeco or whatever, and I can get in, like, we'd be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Louisiana, who do you remember some of the earlier people when you were younger that you saw live?
I remember seeing Clayton Sampey and the Zydeco Farmers a couple of times.
Yeah.
Coming out and trying to see who else. Just everybody, really.
Yeah. I mean, as a young kid, was there a difference between what you were seeing being played here or hearing being played here versus what you were hearing over in Texas?
No, it was all the same.
It was the same for you. And what style when you were playing Wilbert with him?
Well, he played all three accordions, which was good. Well, good education for me. You know, when he pick up the piano, he'd do a lot of Clifton stuff. And then when he pick up his three-row, he would do a lot of, rockin' Doopsie, Buzu, Chavis stuff. And then when he pick up the small accordion, he would do more French songs and Buzu and John Delafont. So I got a little bit of everything.
Oh, yeah. But what a great start for you.
Yeah.
Wow. So then you started coming, when James started bringing you over here,
mm-hmm.
the purpose for him bringing you here was he really wanted you to sit with some of who did he introduce you to when you would come over here on some of those weekends?
Like Mr. Goldman Thibodeau.
Ah, okay.
Then we go sit by Mr. Goldman and come sit by you and Blake.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the first time I met you, I mean, I remember James saying, hey, he called ahead and he's like, I got somebody I want you to meet. And Corey, I do remember that when you sat down and started playing, Blake and I walking away like, oh my God. I mean, you knew you heard something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so exciting thinking about where you were going to be how many years from then.
Yeah.
Would you go out and meet with Bosak at all?
I think maybe once or twice we did.
You did that? Yeah. Goldman was who you would sit with a lot.
Yeah.
You speak French?
A little bit.
Yeah. And would Goldman sit and speak with you in French?
He'd go back and forth.
Yeah.
Because I'd have trouble keeping up.
How about your family? Was the French language spoken in
your... Yeah, they're all fluent.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I guess at that time, I was hearing stuff that I didn't need to be hearing, so that's when the French lessons kind of stopped.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, which you heard a lot of parents do that.
Yeah.
When they wanted to talk about things they didn't want the kids to hear. And my guess is you know French better than you give yourself credit for.
Well, probably so.
Yeah, because you sing it, you hear it, and I do know you speak it with people at times. You do have a new CD.
Right.
That you've just come out with. And it's called Nothing But the Best, and we're going to hear a cut from that. The song you did, Corey, I'm the Zydeco Man,
mm-hmm.
You said that was one that is kind of reminiscent of just some influence when you were younger playing.
Yeah, that's always been one of my favorite Clifton songs. And the funny part is that James gave me the idea to kind of redo that song because and you'll hear in the song, there's a line where Clifton says he's been to Moscow and he's been to Paris. Well, funny thing, now I've been to Moscow and been to Paris, so I'm not just singing the lyrics.
You actually have. Isn't that great? Now, this CD, too, we're gonna come back and talk throughout the show, too, more about it, because it's amazing the other players that you have on here. But first, let's listen to the track, I'm the Zydeco Man. This is Corey Ledet.
Let's do the Zydeco. That's what we're gonna do. Let's do the Zydeco. That's what we're gonna do. I want you to know I'm the man. I've been to Moscow, I've been to France too, I've been all over with the Zydeco. I want you to know I'm the man. We'll be right back.
you know I'm the man. I've been to Moscow, I've been to Paris too, I've been all over, which is how to go. I want you to know, I want you to know I'm the man.
That was Corey Ledet off his new CD called Nothing But the Best, and that was I'm the Zydeco Man. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange, and my guest in the studio is Corey Ledet. And it's so great being here on the campus at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, because you can have all this wonderful things happen. Like, we were just joined in the studio. He saved the day. Dr. Mark DeWitt, who is the with the Dr. Tommy Como, he's the Endowed Chair of Traditional Music for that program here at UL. And Corey is leaving to go out of town and forgot his accordion. So thank you, Mark, for bringing the accordion.
Thank you.
Special delivery.
That's right. And thank goodness you live close.
Yeah.
So, folks, we are going to get a treat, and Corey, you are going to be able to play live. So
good, good deal.
You're not off the hook.
All right.
But let's talk about that song, though, that we just heard, that you had Andre Theory playing on that.
Yeah.
Now, for people that don't know who Andre is.
Andre Theory is from Oakland, California, but his family is originally from, like, around the Eunice and Jennings area.
Yeah.
And he's a dynamite musician himself, and he's a part of the reason why I play the style that I play, because like I said, he's so great at what he does.
Yeah.
It influences me to do what I want to do.
Oh, that's nice to hear. You know, Andre too, I remember when Andre started coming over here when he was young, I mean, and actually starting to play around here. Is he kin to Queen Ida in there?
I'm not sure.
Are they kin? I thought there was some kind of connection.
It'd be very distant if they are.
Are they just all from that? I thought I remembered somebody saying that years ago.
No. It would be pretty distant. I mean, you know, the kind of thing where a lot of people around here say they're cousins, but that might mean they're fifth cousins or
something.
That's
right.
So
that's right.
I don't think it's that close.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
But I do remember, though, him as, I mean, he was still a teenager when he started coming over here and and starting to play with different folks and play some gigs.
Yeah.
I saw when he was about like 13. He was playing in a band with his mama.
Oh yeah.
She was playing rub board and she was his manager.
Yeah.
Back then.
Where'd you see him at, Mark?
In Berkeley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's and he was one of those. I mean, still is. If you haven't had a chance to see, whoever's listening out there, Andre, you need to see him if you get a chance to do it. But he was one of those young people that when you saw him, you knew that, whoa.
The future's in good hands.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can play. Okay, so Corey, you know, you started coming over here and hanging out with some folks and kind of soaking in things in a different way than when you were a kid, you know, I'm assuming, when James would bring you over. How old were you when you moved here then to the area?
I'm
trying to remember that.
I think about maybe 19.
Yeah, I mean, right out, not
20.
Too long after high school, a couple years after high school.
Yeah, because I graduated in 2000.
Okay.
Class of the new millennium.
You are a kid. Mark, when did you graduate, Mark?
I'll tell if you tell.
Yes. 1977, I don't care.
Okay, I was 78.
There you go. Oh, man. So when you moved here, Corey, had you already been playing in a band at all, or did you have ideas of coming here to put a band together?
Yeah, actually, I always did want to do that since, like, middle school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I couldn't, so.
So you got here, and who did you hook up with at the beginning?
Mitch Reed helped me a lot. Yeah, I went by Mitch.
That's right. When Mitch had his shop, he and that's right.
Yeah, I would always go over there every day.
What'd you learn from Mitch?
Well, he let me see like a lot of, he had a lot of documentaries in the store, and he would let me go in the back and watch them, and he would answer questions if I had any questions.
Yeah, that's cool.
And books, too. He had a lot of books, so he let me, I'd go read the stuff he's supposed to be selling and stuff.
Yeah. So for those of you who thought you bought a new book but got a used version.
Yeah.
But that was a wonderful learning time for you to just go hang out there.
Yeah, and I'd follow him to Randall's, and when he was playing with the Rhythm Devils.
Okay.
And that's when I met, you know, the Rhythm Devils and Pepe and everybody. And then he brought me to the Blue Moon, and I met Mark over there and Vermilionville. So those were, like, the first three places that I was playing when I got here.
And who was playing with you at that time? I mean, did you have a full band at that time? I'm trying to remember back then.
Yeah, it wasn't regular guys. One guy's, his name, we call him Black, and he's the guitar player from like around Arneville area.
Sure.
And I've knew him since Houston days, because I think he used to live over there too. And my cousin, of course, you know, he was here, and we just kind of picked up people here and there as we went along.
And when you first started playing, when you moved here, did you focus on one accordion more than another?
I really wanted to just play everything, just to let everybody know that I can do everything. So that's kind of what I did for a while.
Which, this is a great thing that I love about this CD. When you look at the listings of what Corey Ledet added to this CD, is accordion, drums, washboard, guitar, bass, vocals, harmony vocals, Hammond B3 organ. And so that's, you and I were talking earlier, you need to learn how to play a few more instruments.
Yeah, I'm working on the tuba, but that's kind of heavy.
Yeah. Did you play any of those other instruments when you were a kid, like when you were in high school, like guitar, bass, or?
Like around high school, that's when I wanted to do other things. And for that reason, you know, I wanted to get into the studio then, but I couldn't. And there was different reasons why musicians didn't want to go in there with me. So James told me, you might as well learn them yourself and go in there and do them yourself. He said Prince does it. He does all his own stuff and makes his band learn it for the live shows, and that's it.
Yeah. Hunter Hayes does that stuff, too. You know, you self-taught on all of those then? Did you ever take lessons from anybody on any instrument?
Only the accordion. I had a few lessons from, actually Andre showed me a little bit. Also my cousin Leon Sam of the Sam Brothers, Zydeco band, he taught me a lot too.
You know, that's, okay, now it's coming back to, that's one of the times when you had first moved here, I remember you pulling up in the car, and it was all a car full of Sam Brothers and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was, okay.
Yeah, so I learned a lot from him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can you pick up the piano accordion that Mark brought in? We're going to take advantage of you having instruments here. I was wondering, Corey, if maybe you could play, you know, I mean, something that you think about that reminds you just earlier days learning. Like I said, you're still young, but...
Let's see.
Or whatever comes out of your fingertips.
I think Leon had taught me to...
What song was that?
Tous les temps sont temps.
It
by
is.
By Clifton.
That's right. That was the first song you learned?
Yeah, on this one.
On piano accordion. Now, I'm going to see, play something that you would, after you really learned how to play this thing. Play us another song.
Let's see.
You know, it's Mark, I saw you looking around. It's fascinating watching your fingers move on that thing, Corey. If you
watch the left hand for a while, watch the right hand for a while.
I know. It's wow. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM, a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Please check out the website for all kinds of great news on their programs. You can check out podcasts if you missed your favorite show. And please think about supporting the station. It provides so much to the community here where we all live around the Acadiana area into Lake Charles. You have so many different producers, too, who come in and put on some great shows. So we are public supported. So please think about that, too, when you go on the website. Mark, before you came in at the beginning of the show, I was talking about how I love how it's come full circle for Corey, where he started coming over here when he was a teenager and sitting with people like Goldman and learning and was a student. And it's exciting news that he's going to be coming to your program.
Yeah.
This fall.
He sure
and
is.
And he's going to be giving back and turning that around, and he's now the instructor.
Yeah. We're going to have a beginning accordion class offered for the third time.
Yeah.
And Corey's going to be the teacher for the first time.
You remember the first time you saw Corey play live?
Might have been at Ardenwood a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Out in California.
Yeah.
I still lived out there before I got the job here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And in fact, I remember going on KPFA public radio in Berkeley to plug that festival before they went, and I had my CD with that Corey and Cedric did.
Yeah, yeah.
That I brought into the station so they could play some of Corey's music before the festival. Yeah.
So how great it is now that you're running this program and you're pulling them in as an instructor.
Yeah, it's great.
How did that come about? You know, that how did that process all work about getting him to,
well,
to teach?
Well, a couple things happened. One was I taught Cajun and Zydeco music. It's a history class that Barry Ancelet instituted at the university many years ago, and Barry graciously offered to let me teach it when I got here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought, great. And of course, one of the cool things about teaching a class like that here is that you can bring musicians into the class to visit,
yeah,
which the students just loved, you know. And so so I asked Herman Fuselier if he would come in one day to talk about Zydeco, because he said, well, I'm not coming unless I can bring Corey. Because Corey can play everything I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what he did. And then...
So you were a teaching tool, Corey.
Oh, okay.
You went from a teaching tool, you went from a student to the teaching tool to a teacher.
That's right. And then Christy Guillory was teaching the accordion class last year, and she's expecting her second child real soon now, so we had to find a new accordion teacher. And so I thought back to those couple times I'd seen Corey play in class and all the different styles he could play, so I knew that he could play the old French stuff too on the single row, which is what we're teaching at the university.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Sure.
We're not
okay.
Doing a piano accordion class, it's a button accordion class, but you know, Corey can play all that stuff too, and so I thought, well, you know, and he's so versatile, that'd be great to have him around, because you know, who knows, maybe we'll have a Zydeco ensemble one of these days too, or an old-time Creole ensemble or something, and then we'd have a teacher right there.
That's right. That's right. Corey, when you think about going in to teach that class, what do you hope to pass on to people?
Just education. About, you know, not only the instrument, but the music and the culture.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Which, I mean, I think too, when we talk about people playing music and the passion for it, so much of that passion comes from when you understand the whole...
Yeah.
The whole story. I mean, it's a way of life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it helps to understand all that when you're learning it, because then you're starting to think, oh, well, that's why this is played that way.
Exactly. And I think sometimes, too, and this was what was going on, you know, in the world at that time. This was what was going on in that person's life at the time.
Yeah.
You know, when they wrote that song or when they picked up that, you know, all of that added in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they were doing, whether they were farming, whether, you know.
No,
any
all
of
kind
those
of stuff.
Things. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice visual, too, to think about the whole story of you coming over here and then just picturing you sitting in Mitch's back room. You know, I mean, reading
watching those videos.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Those videos do help now.
That's right. You picked up the single row.
Yeah. Like I said, I started learning. Well, I had the piano first, but like I said, I couldn't figure it out. So then I met James, and he put me on this, and he was teaching me about Amadé and stuff like that, and I really didn't want to play that because I thought it was old-timey, of course. But
yeah,
after he showed me a few little things, he wanted me to learn a lot of his stuff, so I tried my best. So I play one of the first songs that I learned how to play on this.
Wonderful.
By Amadé Ardoin.
Okay. The But what song was that, Corey?
I forgot the name of it, but I know Amadei did it.
You know, Mark?
My bad.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all right.
We'll call it the KRVS Waltz.
The KRVS Waltz by Amadei. KRVS has been around a long time, so it has. Now, when you play live gigs now, I mean, you mix it up with all your accordions.
Yeah. Now it's at the point now... after learning all those different styles, I can't stay to, you know, just piano note music or just, you know, the single room music. I have to bring all three of them and do it all. I get bored quick now.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I bet. Now, on this CD, when you recorded, you played all these instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Whose studio did you do this at?
Ivan.
Yeah, you did go with Ivan. Okay. How long did it take you to record this one?
About a year.
Oh, it did take you? Okay. And what was the thought? Because what's really nice is all the accordion players you pulled in.
Yeah. Like I said, Andre is a big influence to me. And also, I never met Rockin' Doopsie, you know, Senior.
Sure.
But I knew of him growing up and stuff like that. So I thought it'd be cool to record with his kids, Anthony and Dwayne, because they're also... dynamite accordion players, and I look up to them too, so I thought it'd be cool to have all three of them plus myself all on one record.
Yeah. So how did that process work, you know, when you're recording, pulling in other, you know, accordion players? How did you work
well,
that?
I had to do the music first because I knew everybody's schedule was different, and I knew they didn't have a lot of time to be in there, so I tried to do the music first.
So you went in and laid down, like, all the guitar tracks, drum tracks, all that?
Yeah, and I just left a space for them, and they came in, and they heard it, and they said, yeah, we could feel it, and they did.
And so how it comes off is you guys going back and forth with those accordions. Is there a song on here that you think really illustrates what you did with that?
It'd probably be... Well, the first song we just heard, that one there with Andre, and then we did, me and Dwayne did a Jimmy Reed song, Got Me Where You Want Me. I don't know what number that is on there.
So, Cecil, can we put that one on? It's You Got Me Where You Want Me. Let's see here.
Maybe, I want to say 5 or 6, maybe. Let's see. Oh, yeah, number 5. I'm sorry.
if we can put that one on, Cecil, let's play that so people can kind of get an idea what the end result was of that process you did in the studio.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was Corey Ledet on Baby, What You Want Me to Do. That's off his new CD, Nothing But the Best. Now, that was Dwayne Dupsy.
Yeah, well, yeah, he comes in a little bit later on, but he's on there.
Yeah. I mean, that had... Now, did you guys do any playing together in the studio on this? Or your tracks like, were all down?
Like rehearsing or whatever?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, man, so that would have been a cool thing to have happen.
Yeah, you just hit the button, let's roll.
That's right. Have you played with those guys live before?
Yeah.
With
Dwayne
or his brother?
Mm-hmm. Not Anthony and Rockin' Dupsy Jr. I hadn't sat in with them yet, but Dwayne I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he played with your band or the other way around?
I played in his band. He still plays on Bourbon Street like every day.
Yeah.
And you know, he's let me come sit in a little while.
Yeah. Well, you know, Corey, you know, you talk about coming over here to visit, you know, in Parks when you were a kid, and now life has gone to where you have, I mean, you've traveled so many different places, you
mm-hmm.
know. In this country, outside of this country. What stands out for you? There's certain memories that you think about when you first started hitting the road and you went, left the country to go.
For some reason, I think about all the, I shouldn't say bad things, but all the mess-ups that I had to learn on the way, you know.
That's what stands out for you. Huh.
I guess that way I don't mess up again, I guess. I don't know.
Like the mess-ups when you were playing live or just the whole thing of traveling?
Just the whole thing of traveling.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you do have to learn how that process works.
Yeah, like I learned that I would never take another road trip unless I had like a what we call an anchor gig. And what an anchor gig is it's the one gig that can pay for the whole tour. And then you just book little stuff around it.
Yeah.
And I learned that the hard way. Running out of money in the middle of on a tour.
Did you stand on the corner and play some music and open the...
It came close.
You know, but I think you're not the only one who's had that happen. But, you know, I think there's so much of that happens in the music business that it's not, you know, where anybody...
And it's enough to where it'll make a musician say, you know what, I'm not going to mess with this. I'll go get a regular job and just say, you know, forget it.
Yeah. What made you stick with it?
Just the passion for it. Just the love.
Yeah. You know, and Corey, have you seen yourself grow into, like, another direction with your music?
I still play the same music as far as what I'm doing. I play the same music as I did when I was smaller. It's just now I'm able to perform it the way I want to perform it instead of, you know, like, not learning a full song or whatever or not perfecting that song. Now I can play it and not have to worry about it.
And you add your own style into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you write music.
Mm-hmm.
And you write on what certain style of accordion?
It depends.
Or do you write on a guitar?
Well, actually, I'll hear like, you know, like accordion pattern or a bass line and it'll just pop in my head. And, you know, I don't read music, so I have to like, recorded and stuff like that and come back and build on top of it.
Yeah. You use your phone at all for some of that? Like
now
to prompt
I do.
You things?
Now I do since they have the technology nowadays.
Yeah, to put now. Something so you don't
like
forget.
The song on there, The Girl Wanna Dance, I came up with the bass pattern and just kinda added stuff around it and came out with that.
Can you play some of that live on one of these accordions?
Yeah, I could play it on the big one here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you pick that one up and we'll set that one down and we're taking advantage of you playing live.
Do you have the 4-track app or anything like that to put on your phone?
No, but I think I need to get it.
I don't know about that one. There's a 4-track app?
There's a 4-track app for the iPhone, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, Todd Mouton told me about that.
So have you used it?
I've used it a little bit, yeah. I like recorded barbershop quartets with myself.
That's cool.
Yeah, it works all right.
Yeah.
The hardest part is figuring out, like, when to come in.
Yeah.
To get it all synced up at the beginning.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Would you say I love that one?
Yeah, I kind of like that song.
Well, that's good, because you're going to probably be playing that one a lot. If you're just joining us, my guest in the studio today is Corey Ledet, and we are also thrilled that we were joined by Dr. Mark DeWitt, who, as I said earlier, saved the day and brought the accordions in for Corey to play. What do you hope that Corey gets across in the class that he's going to be teaching, Mark? What do you hope students leave there with?
Well, his musical knowledge and his passion, because he mentioned that, you know, because it does take a lot to stick with it. I mean, you don't do music unless you really want to.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy. But, you know, the students see that and his love for it. And, he obviously knows a lot about the music and he has an idea how to teach it, too, because he's taught at various camps in the past. So we talked about that. We had a little interview at some point, so we asked him 20 questions,
Yeah. And, I mean, because, Corey, I remember that, too, with you starting out with, you'd come hang out at Folk Roots.
Yeah.
And at the camp,
mm-hmm.
and then came and did, for a period of time, there was kind of the learning internship program that you did to become an instructor.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I was a student at the Davis and Elkins College in West Virginia.
For Augusta.
Yeah. And that's when I met Danny and Edward Poulor.
Oh, that's the first time you met them.
Yeah, that was in 2000, and James brought me there, and he said, "There, that's your graduation present."
Yeah, it was Danny's last year there.
Yeah, and thank God I was able to attend that year, because that was his last year.
Oh yeah, and thank goodness that you were able to meet Ed. Ed certainly has done so much to pass on so much of those traditions to, musicians all over the world.
Yeah, and he's doing a good job with passing it down to his son, Ryan, too.
That's
Ryan
right.
Ryan sounds exactly like Amadeo Arduin.
Okay. On the accordion.
Yeah.
Mark, I want to go back to you for a minute. For those classes, now, do you have to be like an enrolled full-time student here at UL, or how...
I'm so glad you asked that question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know.
As it turns out, no. In fact, one of the things I'm excited about with Corey teaching this class is that we're going to have it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you're like school teachers or somebody, other people who get off work in time to make it over to the university by 5, Mondays and Wednesdays, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Mondays and Wednesdays at 5 is going to be this beginning accordion class.
Now, does that start up in August?
Yes.
Which isn't that far away.
No. So what they can do is they can go to the university, louisiana.edu website, and search for the university college, and there's information there on the university college. There's a phone number they can call for how to sign up for a single class. And
you can just come once?
You can just take, no, I mean, you could take one class for credit for the whole semester.
So that's what you mean, for a single class, that way, got it.
Yeah, right, without having to, apply as a degree-seeking student.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing to offer.
Yeah, we've had people do that in the past for this class, and for the fiddle class, and even for my songwriting class. I had an engineer from Baton Rouge drive down twice a week
to take
the songwriting class last spring, yeah.
Do you, now with those classes, is it all pretty much hands-on with the instruments, or is there also, how a traditional class may have been taught years ago with information?
Oh, yeah, well, that's kind of evolving a little bit, but right now it's pretty much all hands-on.
That's what a wonderful way
to learn. Yeah, and to the extent that, like Christy told me last semester, occasionally they get to the point where the brain was full, and the class, there was still time left in the class, And so then you might spend a little time just talking about the history of the music, mm-hmm. or showing a little video or something. Yeah. But most of the time, it's just hands-on, yeah.
All right. Well, for those of you listening who want to take that class with Corey, you can go to the website, louisiana.edu,
mm-hmm.
and go to University College.
Go to University College and find that phone number and give Ms. Amanda a call and find out how you can sign up.
Wonderful.
Yeah, for Music 329, I believe, is the course number for
okay.
the accordion class.
Are you still learning, Corey?
Oh, yeah, I'm always still learning.
What catches your ear now or catches your attention that it's like, gosh, I want to be able to do that?
Everything. Like if I'm listening to maybe country or something like that and I hear something that catches my attention, I'd want to learn that and stuff like that. Or if I'm listening to some blues, I'd want to learn that. It's just everything.
All on an accordion or other instruments?
I start off learning on here.
On the piano accordion?
Yeah, and then I'd try other instruments.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing that James had told me, said, never stop learning. Never stop learning, so.
You know, your voice, your vocals, too, are also something that I remember you talking before that's something you really have paid attention to over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't, and I'm still not, but I was never, like, the best vocalist. And I would try to make my voice do things that it couldn't do. And again, James would tell me, you know, not to do that because you can damage your vocal cords, you know.
Yeah.
Find your range and kind of stay
and
around
that. And
work
on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That was a good lesson.
Yeah.
You know, think about, where was James? He should have told you about the, you know, having that anchor gig, you know, so you didn't run out of money.
Yeah, I know. James, I'm going to have to ask him about that.
Yeah, that's right. James, you forgot one thing. But he's done some touring with you.
Yeah. Matter of fact, he's coming to Portland with us.
Yeah.
So
playing guitar?
Rubboard.
Oh, playing rubboard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I know he's played with Eddie and them on guitar.
Yeah, with Les Amis Creole.
That's right. If you want to see Corey in the area, he is going to be gone for a period of time, but you do have your CD release party. It's going to be Friday, July 20th,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be at Whiskey River,
right.
Landing in Henderson. You also have a gig down the road, then too, August 19th at Vermilionville. That part of the Sunday?
Yeah,
all the Maison that
yeah.
they do there? All right. I also want to tell people, too, you can go to Corey's website at www.coreyledette.com. Mark, anything before we're getting close to the end? Anything you'd like to let people know about? Anything else you have coming up with your programs?
In the fall, in addition to Corey's accordion class, we're also going to have a beginning fiddle class with Al Berard.
Oh, fabulous. That's a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a good person.
Yes. So those are the two main classes we have rolling the fall that people in the community might be interested in. Songwriting's not going to happen again until the spring.
Okay.
And I'm working real hard this summer to get some stuff lined up for the spring, but not ready to announce that yet.
That's right. Now the thing with Al, though, same kind of deal where you can just come in as a one class.
Correct.
Thing. Okay. That's one. Those are two good instructors.
Al's is Tuesdays and Thursdays at 5:00.
Okay. You've done some playing with Al, Corey.
Yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, we played not too long ago for the kids' camp.
Happened.
So.
Was that through Louisiana Folk Arts?
Yeah.
For the kids' camp? What do you see? When you teach young kids now, or when you see young kids picking up, do you see them going towards a specific style?
Well, some are not really into it, and then some are, so you have to kind of focus on that, so.
How to get them excited, you mean?
Yeah.
That's what you have to focus. How do you get them excited?
I just try to make it fun.
Yeah.
Not too technical.
Yeah, I think that's a big, depending on somebody's age.
Yeah, yeah.
What you have to watch
and
out.
And then some of them really have a passion for it. Like I had Gracie Bobineau, and you know, now she has a CD out and doing very well. But when I first met her, I could see it, you know, in her eyes that she really wanted to be a musician.
Yeah. It is, I mean, and I think that's what a lot of people saw with you when you were younger, too. You
yeah.
know, you can't, I mean, you see that, you know, come through with people. And Gracie has a sister that plays also,
yeah,
right?
Julie, yeah.
Okay. Who's, Gracie's the older one?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Okay. All right. Well, that's fun that you've had that experience, that you've been able to see that from the other side then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, having been on the other end of that. So you're going to be hitting the road Where are your travels taking to you now?
We're going to Portland, and then from there we're going to Montana.
You're going to Oregon, mate? Which coast are you going to?
I think that's, what, the West Coast?
Wait, you're going to Portland, Oregon. You're not going to Maine. Okay.
Right.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there we're going to Montana, which I've never been there before, so.
It's a beautiful state.
Yeah. And then from there we're going cross-country to Virginia.
All right.
So.
And so you do have some good anchor gigs, so you're not going to have to think about sitting up on the corner.
Yeah, well, actually, all three of them are anchor gigs, so we'll be doing all right.
Yeah, that's
it's
great.
It's all anchor gigs from now on.
I know. Corey, that's, I mean, you remember that feeling when you kind of moved to that next notch where it's like, oh, wow, I'm getting, this
well,
is great.
The feeling was when I went to do, you know, count the money after everything was over with, and it was a little bit light.
And that'll make a difference.
Yeah.
Well, I really want to thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Mark, way to save the day.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the instruments.
I owe you a gumbo.
There
all
you
right.
go. How about if you owe us a song that we can
all
go
right.
out on?
Let's see.
We'll get you to play live. Everybody, have a good week. Cord Ledet, thanks for coming on today. Dr. Mark DeWitt.
Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS-FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.